as we jump into the sermon today, first of all, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, because when the pastor planned all this out a couple months ago, he forgot to write down what scripture passage we'd be doing this morning. So it's Matthew chapter 2. And secondly, you need to know that God was already on the move because I woke up this morning, fired up my tablet, and had no sermon notes. I literally looked at the title of it, went to click on it, and it disappeared. So your prayers have been answered. So I will just do what a lot of preachers do, and I'll let the Spirit lead. So here we go, 3.5 hours long. Now, we have been talking about Emmanuel, God with us, God becoming human, but yet being fully God, God as a baby. I heard a little discussion over here earlier about why we call Naomi's pacifier Joe. Because when the pastor's wife's firstborn came around, her husband used to sing a song about the pacifier, about Pacifier Joe. And it was a Western, Pacifier Joe coming into town and taking the bad guys down, all that other stuff. And so that's what we do. But the other thing that we used to do all the time when the kids were little, they would ask, what are we having for supper, right? What are we eating? What are we eating? And so being the good father that I was, after I got tired of hearing it, I would always say one thing to them. We are having dirty diapers sprinkled with cheese in the microwave. I heard Josh say it. We're having dirty diapers with cheese in the microwave, and they go, ew, right? Because babies, dirty diapers. We love the idea of God becoming human. And then we sing songs about no crying he makes. Anybody ever had a newborn? Anybody have a fun empty nest and then your kids come home with the two-year-old? Do you think there's any crying she makes? Yes. Right? We don't like to talk about those things about God becoming human or dirty diapers because it's messy. But that's what I love about what God did by sending his son for us. Life is messy. Your life messy? Whether it's our doing or someone else's, our lives tend to be messy. Jesus came to be messy with us. God came to be with us in the mess, but also to help us clean it up. I think that's fantastic. Here's the other thing that the pastor, the dummy, forgot. He put a title on this sermon called Baby Shower and then said we were going to throw the first ever baby shower here at Jennings Road for Jesus. I have no idea what that means. It was months ago. I wrote no other notes with it. I looked at it last week and went, what? I tried to look up notes from a couple months back. Nothing. So, we're going to make it up. We're just going to we're going to ask this question. What would you bring as a gift? What is it that he would want for us to bring him? Because one of the things we rarely talk about here is, by the way, did you notice on the way in this morning, there's no pole. The pole we tie the camels to, they're gone. I don't know. It's suddenly gone. So next year for live nativity, we ain't got no wise men. You know, they ain't going to be standing out there. But there's a reason they stand over there and not by the manger. Because we screw up the story of what we call the wise men all the time. And we're going to look at their story today from Matthew chapter 2. And I want you to see what they gave to Jesus, and it has nothing to do with what you think, right? The gifts they brought doesn't have a whole lot to do with that. We're going to give the same thing they gave, but today, let's open up our Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew is in the second part of your Bible, about two-thirds of the way back. It begins what we call the New Testament, all right? look it up in the table of contents if you need to, or so many of us as we do, just tap your app. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. What these guys did, what the Magi did right out of the gate, is the thing that we're going to talk about through 2018. They followed. They followed. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, we'll mention that in a minute, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child, not baby, child was. Do you notice that they followed the star? You're like, duh. We've seen the little drummer boy, right? We're familiar with that. They followed the star. Can I ask you a question? Who put that star there? Just suddenly, poof, star, right? No. Suddenly, another tiny big bang, poof, star. God put that star there. And sometimes we have the tendency to worship the signs instead of the creator that put things into motion. Does that make sense? You've heard me talk about it before. We love to worship Christmas. And we put up signs that say, keep Christ in Christmas. The only way that someone can take Christ out of Christmas is if we do it. If we allow Jesus to no longer be the reason for our season. They didn't just worship the star. They followed it to where Jesus was. God is constantly going to put before us signs that point to him. We get excited about the signs. We forget to follow right to where Jesus is. That is an amazing gift that we could give to Jesus. But I want you to notice the beginning of verse 9. It says, after they heard the king. We're not going to be able to get into all that stuff, right? They're talking to King Herod. They are talking to the king. And that king could care less about Jesus. As a matter of fact, that king sees Jesus as a threat to his power and to his authority. They could have followed the king, which is what we tend to do in America, right? We glorify elected officials or dopey pastors or people that we think we should trust 100% and follow regardless of what they say. And they were smart enough to go, we're not going to follow the king. Because as we know from the story, and if you're not familiar with it, you got to read it. This king wanted Jesus dead. So they meet with the king. They leave. They follow the star, not what the king told them to do. So be careful about who you follow, what opinions matter to you. Because as I've said before, when life is a mess, we tend to want one of two things. We want support. And that's typically what we'll do in our sinfulness is we'll find support, people that agree with us. And we surround ourselves with people that will wallow in our misery together. Or we'll look for a solution. And we'll find people that will go, okay, here's what you need to do. And it's yucky to hear. And it's hard to do. But that is so much more important. Be careful who you're following. Verse 10, we have got to be a people that feel. Emotionally, we should be the people that people look at and go, they're crazy. But it's a good kind of crazy. It's an exciting kind of crazy. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were what? Overjoyed, not happy, not joyful, overjoyed. Right? You know how many Starbucks cards I got for Christmas? All of them. Right? Every time I opened one, do you think I was like, oh, I got one of these? You think I was happy about it? No, I was overjoyed. Right? I was overjoyed. Love it. It is fantastic. This sense of joy, this being overjoyed. And I want you to notice in verse 11, they're not thrilled at meeting Jesus. Did you notice that? They haven't even met him yet. They are thrilled because God is pointing the way to Jesus. They're, woohoo! they're excited. They're overjoyed at this idea that they're about to meet Jesus. They are overjoyed at the way to Jesus being clearly marked. Obvious the direction they should go, right? And I want us to get to a point next year where when God is telling us, I think this is the direction you need to go, what we feel isn't, but that's hard. But that's going to hurt. But that's, right? Instead, we're like, okay. You lead. I'll follow. It's overly simplistic. I know. But that's the beauty of where we're at right now, because at my house, there's one thing on my sweet 4K TV. Hallmark movies. Over and over again. You know what the first thing to ever appear on my 4K TV was? Sophia the First. Anybody that's got a toddler girl knows. I know Sophia the First. I know every word of the theme song. And now all that's on it, Danielle, are Hallmark movies. Why? Because they're smoochy face. They're, you know, it's about feeling. It's about emotional. And they always end happy. And people are overjoyed at the outcome. There's something valuable to that. And I asked Danielle last year, I'm like, Danielle, why are we watching Hallmark movies over and over and over again? You know what she told me? Not an answer that I expected. And it's something we've got to learn to do in our relationship with Jesus. She said, Dad, it's all about the romance. That's a girl that gets it. Because that tells me she's got some standards in place. Doesn't matter who's trying to hit on her. Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. It matters about her being romanced. And we know there's a difference between the two, right? We should be overjoyed that we're in this romantic relationship with a God that loves us so much that he sent his son to us. When they saw the star. Are you overjoyed when God makes it clear to you the direction you should go? Overjoyed. Verse 11. The thing we've got to do is when he makes it clear, we've got to find Jesus. Verse 11. On coming to the house, pay attention, not a manger. When they came to the house, they saw the child, not baby, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Ooh, that's highlighter stuff. Then they opened their treasures. Oh, we're familiar with this, right? And presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, did you notice there's not mention of kings or three kings or wise men? No mention of a baby, but a child. What's the first thing that they do? Give him gifts, right? Wrong. Look at the verse again. They bow down, and then what do? We spend so much time as churches and as pastors, Lord, what can you give to Jesus? What can you give to Jesus? What can you do for him? Bow down. He's greater than you are. He's greater than I am. Let's learn our place. That's one of the things that I'm constantly reminded as we sing the amazing songs we do every single Sunday. These songs always remind me, he's God, I'm not. And then worship him. I should live my life in such a way that it screams out that entire notion. He's God, I'm not. Worship to you, if it's just singing the songs on Sunday morning, you're missing the point. If you think that's all that it is, you're not bowing down the rest of the time. This is 1 hour plus, sometimes 1 hour plus out of all the other hours you've got. And me, bow down, worship, then give him stuff. I care so much more about you bowing down and worshiping than I do your spiritual resume. You know what I'm talking about? Tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Well, I've got perfect church attendance through the year. I did not ask that. Well, I teach Sunday school. I didn't ask that. Well, I'm in 3 small groups. I didn't ask that. So guess what question I'm going to be asking you through next year? Tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Right? We find Jesus. When we do, we bow down and we worship him. The key to giving Jesus stuff is to start with worship. How do you worship away from Jennings Road? That's why I love our new song. Isn't it cool? As we sing it again to close out our service this morning, pay attention to the words you're singing. I will give you credit if you're not willing to sing it because you realize the words that you're singing. But man, I will give you credit for just blasting it out because you are willing to follow him, to feel it, so that you can find Jesus. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning. Let's worship.
Shattered and broken, things I've hoped in fall through my hands. You have plans to redeem and restore me. You're behind and before me. Oh, I'll God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. And know how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. Oh, you want me. Somehow you want me. King of heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me. Oh, you want me. Somehow you want me. The King of heaven wants me. This world has lost its grip on me. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me, oh how you love me, and somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. You don't need me, somehow you want me, and know how you love me, somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. Oh, give you control. I want to give you control. I give you control. God, you don't need me. Somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. I give you control.
Amen. All right, thanks for coming, everybody. Stay warm. Yeah, good luck with that.